Well, hey, thanks so much for being here today. My name is Miguel. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're watching online from home today in your pajamas, awesome. So glad you're here with us today. But today's Hot August Sunday. Hot August Sunday, yeah. So listen, this is not a dealership if you're new with us today. And the cars are not for sale, okay? Just a disclaimer here. Yeah, yeah. But it is pretty cool to see when you're coming to church and all of a sudden you see a 1964 and a half Ford Mustang convertible. You just know it's going to be a good day, right? Okay, you know, something inspires you about that. So it's pretty cool. So glad you're here today. We're excited about hanging out a little bit after service, eating some hot dogs and having some fellowship. So pretty cool. But it's so fun to kind of throw back, right, and look back at some things of a time that once was. Or sometimes, I don't know about you, do you guys ever do like throwback pics? Right? Throwback pictures of yourself, you know, throwback to the 1990s or earlier or whatever to that one time. So because I was seeing all these classic cars and some throwback idea here today, I thought maybe we'd show some throwback pictures of some of our staff. That's okay. All right. That's cool. That's cool. All right. Well, I'll lead by example. First, this is a picture of me, throwback to when I was in kindergarten. Thank you for that response. Yeah. Oh, not like, whoa, different. I don't know what the deal was with the big crayons, you know? I don't know what that was about. I think it was like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie was about to come out, so I don't know if they're, you know, going off of that, but that was me in kindergarten. But here's someone you might know. That's our senior pastor, Pastor Dan. Now, here's the thing. I look at that picture and I wonder, was this like an intentional pose? You know, or did they just catch him off, you know, but I don't know, but it was a good picture. It was like a senior pick moment, you know. Hey, you know, that's Pastor Dan. But here's another one, someone you might know. This is Karen Durst as a little girl. Very cute, very cute, yeah. Awesome. And then, of course, here's one other person. Here's Pastor Nick, our worship pastor. Yes. I think he still has that outfit. I don't know. But pretty cool. Isn't it fun? Sometimes you kind of just reminisce, right, of, man, the times that once was and throwbacks and all that's so fun, right? But I think for some of us in the room, sometimes throwbacks or looking back don't bring good memories. Sometimes it brings some bad memories, some hard memories. Sometimes when we look back, it's difficult. And sometimes for some of us in the room or if you're watching online, it stirs an emotion in us that we can't really look back. It's hard. It's difficult. And that thing that happened to us is very hard. The thing that happened to us when we were 13 has affected our 30. And for some, when we throw back or we look back or we remember, man, it paralyzes us. It haunts us. It's difficult. And I understand it. I get it. And see, here's the thing. We all have a past. Let's just be clear, a little disclaimer. We all have a past. And for us in the room here today, listen, it's hard to get past our past. It's difficult. It's hard. It paralyzes. It's hard for us to do that. And so if you're here today, or if you're watching online and that's not you, you don't deal with that, then we just like to welcome you today, Jesus, to Grace Church, right? But here's the reality, okay? There's only two types of people, those in recovery and those in denial. There's only two types because we're all a work in progress, right? Amen? We're all a work in progress. We're all recovering from things. We've all have a past. We all deal with issues. We've all done those things, right? And so there's only those kinds of people. We are all a work in progress. And here's the point. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. For some of those things in our past, if we don't let them die, it won't allow us to live. So as I look at all these cars on campus, and each car today is pretty much equipped with a rear view mirror of some kind, okay? It has a rear view mirror, and here's the thing, like, we all know that we are supposed to, you know, keep our eyes on the road ahead when we drive, and it's obvious that the windshield is much larger than the rearview mirror. And quite on purpose. I think that's intentional when we drive, all right? It's important. But the rearview mirror is still very important, and it's not just to put your makeup on. That was something my wife might say. It's also to put your makeup on, right? It's not just for that. There's other important reasons why. It's a critical piece in the car. The rearview mirror is really important because sometimes there are people that are following you a little bit too closely, right? Have you ever experienced that when you're driving and someone is just tailgating you? Has anyone ever experienced this before? Maybe just me. But you get tailgated and it's like you feel this pressure to move out of your lane. Almost like you're getting bullied, right? You're just driving the speed limit, everything's great, and all of a sudden you feel this pressure behind you. And this car behind you is just pressuring you to move lanes, to change your course. Well, here's the thing. I think there are things in our life that we've allowed to follow us, listen, a little too closely. Things in our rearview mirror that have followed us a little bit too closely, and it's caused us to move out of a lane that we really shouldn't be in. It's influenced us in such a way that now we have completely changed the course and trajectory of our life because of these things. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to just talk about four things that we need to keep a rear view eye out for as we maneuver through this life. Four things that I've learned from Scripture and life. Four things that I think we need to be mindful of, a rear view mirror out for, because if they follow us closely, it can be such a threat to our life that we start to change direction and get off course and get off the road that God wants us to be on. So the first thing I want to talk about is past success. Past success. Now, this is a little bit more subtle to notice, but because here's the thing, there's nothing wrong with being successful. I encourage all of you to be successful at whatever you do. In fact, Colossians talks about, the Scriptures talk about, that whatever you do, do it with all your heart, right? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so I want you to be successful, but here's the thing. Sometimes our past successes can be celebrated and paraded so much that we begin to use it to validate who we are. And we begin to use it as this identity piece. It's something I call the Ron Burgundy effect. The Ron Burgundy effect. Yeah, if you've seen the movie, remember Anchorman, right? Where he, you know, one of the lines is, "Hey, everybody, come see how good I look." Right? I've got many leather-bound books, right? It's this Ron Burgundy effect, because then all of a sudden, when all of it's taken away, it literally cripples him, right, in this movie. And in Paul's day, there were people that actually, that were dealing with this. And in Philippians chapter 3, there were people that were waving around their credentials and successes. And in Philippians 3, Paul says, hey, listen, if you think you have success, I've got more. But listen, it's all rubbish. That translation is literally dog dung. It's poo-poo, right? This is what he's saying. He said, it's all crap. It's all dung. It's all rubbish. He said, I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. And so he says in Philippians 3, he says, he presses on forgetting those things which are behind. Because the truth is, if your best days are behind you, you're looking in the wrong direction. If your best days are behind you, you're looking in the wrong direction. So we need to keep a rear view eye out for past successes, being careful about that, but also past failures. Past failures. Because here's the thing, failures and mistakes are a part of life. Can I get an amen with that, right? We're all going to make mistakes, right? You remember high school, right? Okay, so we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have failure moments. And David in Scripture, there's King David, right? David and Goliath, right? That David, man, he had some failures, some epic failures. I mean, this guy committed adultery and then strategically planned a murder. And yet the Bible considers him a man after God's own heart. Why? Well, I think one reason why is because David was constantly after God's heart. And so when David would fail, he would run to God. Lord, I have sinned against you and you alone, right? He would run and respond, running to God. I think some people, you know, I've heard this saying before. Some people say that experience is life's greatest teacher. And I get what they mean when they say that, but here's the thing. I know a lot of old fools, and so do you, right? And Saul, King Saul, David, right? David and King Saul. King Saul was an old fool. You read the story and how his life ended, man, and some poor choices. So we know a lot of old fools. So a better way to say it, it's not experience that's life's greatest teacher. It is evaluated experience that is life's greatest teacher. And when we fail, and we will, when we fail and we fail again, we realize the wise person sees this as an opportunity to fail forward, to learn from their failure, evaluating their experiences so that we can grow from them. And every person who ever did anything great had seasons of failure after failure after failure after failure. Because to them, listen, failure is an event, not a person. Failure is an event. It's not a person. And that's where I think some of us have confused when we fail, we treat it as an identity thing. We've confused failure as a person rather than an event that we can learn from, that God can use in our life. See, in Christ, listen, I am valued. I am valuable because, listen, my life is valuable not because, listen, it's not measured by the failures I've made, but by the price Jesus paid. That's the value. That's how we are measured, right? So we're going to fail. The great athletes fail. The person who's growing, they're going to fail, but they're going to learn. They're going to evaluate it. They're going to understand that. Well, my value is not measured by all the mistakes and failures I've made. It's measured by the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And so when we make a mistake or we fail, we pay consequences for that. And that's good. But so many of us, we want to be rescued from our consequences. We're asked, God, rescue me from this consequence. And listen, when he doesn't, we think God is just mad at us or just trying to get back at us, right? And just he's angry or he's mad or he's trying to pay us back for something, right? But here's the truth. God doesn't allow consequences to pay us back. He allows consequences, listen, to bring us back. To bring us back. This is the reality, guys. When consequences happen, it's to bring it. Come back to me. Come on. Come on. I'm with you. I'm here for you. I'm there for you. And this is the reality. So we have these things we need to keep an eye out for as we maneuver through life. We have past successes. Yes, we have past failures. But listen, we also have past offense. Past offense. And let me just say, this issue of offense is often, man, the most difficult obstacle we must face and overcome. Man, and I'm right there with you. When I look at the story of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those first four books of the Bible, the New Testament, you see the life of Jesus and the disciples, and they're together. And the disciples, man, they witnessed some incredible things. Can you imagine? I mean, just the honor to be in the room with Jesus, right? I mean, I just got invited by, I get to walk around with Jesus, right? Who cares about title and position for a second? I just get to be there. And they witnessed some incredible things. I mean, the blind eyes were opened, the dead were raised. These are some of the things that the disciples got to see firsthand, right? They got to see the multitudes were fed by a couple of tuna sandwiches, right? Bread and fish, right? They're like, what just happened here? And there's leftovers, right? They got to see as Jesus, right, saw a threatening storm and he brought it to stillness. And man, who is this man that he calms the wind and the waves? I mean, could you imagine? This is what the disciples witnessed firsthand. And yet toward the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus instructed his disciples. He said this, if your brother sins against you seven times in a day and seven times returns to him and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now watch this. Their very first response was, Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. So listen, It was not this like cry, right? When you're looking at this, like, the disciples witnessed all those kinds of miracles, all those amazing things, right? And it was not the miracles, listen, that inspired a cry for greater faith. It was the simple command to forgive those who offended you. Wow. See, here's the thing. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 1, he said, in this life, in this world, you will have the opportunity to be offended. It's gonna happen. You will have the opportunity to be offended. And when you have the opportunity to be offended, and when it presents itself, you will either have the opportunity to be bitter or get better. It is your choice. And Jesus here is instructing his disciples, and that's why they're saying, man, increase our faith. See, that word, some of you theologians in the room, I know you guys like to dig into word studies and Greek, so let me give you a little bit of Greek here, okay? The word in Luke 17, verse 1, for offense is the word skandalon. It's a bait stick. It's this description of what hunters used to use to trap, capture, or kill small animals. They will put this bait on the skandalon, and the animal would take it and be trapped or killed. So therefore, listen, to be offended is to take the bait of Satan and be pulled into his captivity. This is why the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. So we need to keep an eye out for the past successes, the past failures, the past offense. But also listen, there are some past pain that we've all dealt with as well. And for many of us, man, we've experienced some really hard, really serious, painful situations that, listen, cannot be logically explained or rationally just reasoned away. You felt it and it hurt. And there's this pain in your life. And listen, I can get that. I can understand. There's some pain in my life. I grew up in a very difficult family life. My family was broken. My father was an abusive alcoholic. And he did things to my sisters that I cannot explain to you in detail because it's too graphic. And so we moved from apartment to apartment. We were on welfare. We didn't have all that much. And I realized just recently, in recent years, I found out that my father, the reason why we were moving around so much is because my father had an affiliation with some Mexican cartel situations. I didn't even know that at the time. And here we are. My father was caught selling drugs when I was 10 years old and he went to prison. I get some of the painful situations that maybe you have experienced. They might not be the exact same, but man, I get it. It is painful. And when I look at the life of Joseph in the Bible, I'm so reminded of someone who really experienced some pain. When you look at Joseph's life in that last part of Genesis, the book of Genesis, Joseph with the coat of many colors, right? If you've heard the stories, man, Joseph at 17 years old was sold into slavery by his brothers. They weren't really great role models, right? 17 years old, man, that was a hard senior year for Joseph. He didn't get to go to prom, right? So Joseph gets sold into slavery and later gets sold to a guy named Potiphar. And although it starts to seem like, man, maybe things are starting to go okay, he's doing well with Potiphar, but then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife comes on to Joseph. And Joseph refuses, resists, literally runs away and does the godly thing. I will not commit this sin against God. And man, what does he get for his reward? Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of rape. And Joseph gets thrown into prison. Now listen, Joseph is in prison now. I feel, man, Joseph could look back and easily justify some kind of emotion or some kind of decision. I guess this is all life is about, man. It's all bad, pain, suffering, and misery. Nothing good ever happens to me. Oh, I tried. I mean, I'm trying to make good choices, and this is what happens, so I guess it doesn't work. And so often we get there, right? We've been there. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to do good things. I'm making better choices, and boom, this happens. And okay, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then this happens. I mean, I look at Joseph's life and I'm going, man, if there was anyone who had an excuse to complain a little bit, I'm like, maybe Joseph. But I'm sitting there. He's in prison. He was in prison for 2 years. And he's sitting there in a prison. I couldn't imagine the long devotion time he had with Jesus and his prayer time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was angry, maybe not. But all the story tells us that he continued to stay faithful. He continued over and over to stay faithful, and eventually he would get to meet Pharaoh and become second in command of all of Egypt. And when that point happened, that took 13 years from when he was first sold into slavery to when he became second in command. 13 years of pain and suffering. Most of us can't last a day of disappointment, right? The barista gets our drink wrong and we lose it, right? 13 years of nonstop. Joseph is faithful, 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 and man, one thing after another, pain, suffering, misery, over and over and again. 13 years. It'd be 22 years when he finally gets face to face with his brothers, the very people that put him in this place, that put him on that trajectory, right? That sold him into slavery, and all of a sudden, the rest of his life became horrible. 22 years, he's now second in command of Egypt. He sees his brothers. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. What does he do? Is he bitter? Is he angry? What does he do? Does he go, hey, ho, 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 aha, hey, yeah. Welcome to Egypt. Right? No, like, he doesn't do that. Does he get angry and bitter? Does all of a sudden he go, hey guys, told you so. Guess what I get to do now to you? You guys are pulling lawn duty. No, like, he doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't get angry. I mean, he had total control in this moment. I mean, some of us have dreamed and envisioned of revenge-type mindsets and going, man, if I had the opportunity, if I saw them again, if I see them again, if I could go back now, knowing what I know now, like, oh, man, like, and we get this way, right? Vengeful revenge and all that. And he doesn't do that. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph says something that is so profound that all of us need to learn. I'm just going to read it for you. Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, you intended to harm me. You called it out. It was not good. What you did was not good. It was bad. It was evil. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. What? Yeah, praise God. He says, what man meant for evil, because that's true. What you did was evil, wrong, cruel, harmful. God used it all for good. And when you look back at Joseph's life, we have hindsight now. You can actually navigate through this pretty simply, because you can go, man, if it wasn't for the fact that he got sold into slavery, he never would have got to Egypt and never would have been with Potiphar, never would have been falsely accused, never would have been in the prison, not just any prison, but a royal prison where he met a baker and a butler, and they had some discussions about royal things, and then Joseph interprets their dream, then they go, right? They eventually go back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh goes, oh, dude, I know this guy in prison who can actually interpret dreams. Not really the best resume, but Potiphar, you know, the Pharaoh goes ahead and says, okay, let's bring him up, right? He's at his end, you know, last straw. And all of a sudden, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream and now is second in command and now is able to help thousands of people with his wise instruction that he received from God. And now he can help not only his family, but multitudes of people for years to come. And he looks back and he says, man, what you did was evil. But God intended it all for good. Romans 8:28, you may know it. It's on the screen. It says this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Now listen, that doesn't mean that everything was good. It means that God works everything together for good. Because listen, I get it. You're thinking of that situation, that season in your life that you wish never happened. Because man, the pain of that, that injury, that hurt, man, it happens in a moment. But the pain of recovery, man, that's long and it's grueling and it's hard. And some of us, man, we just want our comfortable lives, right? We want comfort and convenience and a latte, right? We want that. We want all those things, and nothing's wrong with wanting those things, right? I'm not saying that. But understand this, the Christ life is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. You got to understand this. As we navigate through this life, you're gonna go through hard times. Jesus promised it. Let's take him by his word. He promises that, and we have failed. We have experienced pain and suffering. And yes, it's not this cruise ship. It's a battleship. But listen, adversity can produce advancement for the kingdom of God if we can simply stay faithful. So when we experience the floods in our life, listen, God doesn't use it to drown us, but to wash and cleanse us. And when we experience the fires, listen, it's not to burn us. No. It's to purify us. God will use it. So trust me, stay faithful. Faithful, stay with me, man. I want to purify and cleanse and direct your life. And the only way to trust God for what's to come is by looking back, by throwing back at what he's already done in our life. And so I get it. It's hard. We look back at the pain and we experience it's difficult. But listen, you and I, we may be products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. There's some other thing God wants for our life. I think sometimes we look back and it's hard for us to see God, and all we see is the pain. But I want to do a quick exercise for us. If you're taking notes on your phone or if you're writing down notes, go ahead and get your phone out, get your notes out. I want you to write these letters down. I want you to look at them throughout the week, and I want you to kind of use it as a reminder. Write these letters down, all one word, all together. GODISNOWHERE. It's on the screen if you missed it. Here's the thing about this incredible illustration here. Here's the thing. Listen. You get two conclusions with the exact same information. You could look at the same information, the same frame, and you can see that God is nowhere. You can look at it and say, God is nowhere. And man, that may be true to you, right? Because that's what you're seeing. You look back at your life and you say, God is nowhere. Man, God was nowhere. Or you can see God is now here. So understand, we can be looking at the exact same scenario, situation, the exact same screen and frame of our life, and as we're driving down this road, you can say, God is nowhere. Or you can say, God is now here. When I look back at my life, listen, yes, it is true that there was some pain and heartache that I experienced and that my family experienced. You can look back at Joseph's life and you can say, yes, it is true that he experienced some pain and some heartache. But the greater truth is that God is now here and has been here the whole time, working it together for good. And this is often where we miss the greater truth. We're only focused on one truth when the greater truth is that God never left. He's been with you through it all, right? And I love this because you know what? Some people come up to me and they go, Miguel, man, you know, you're really passionate when you preach. Well, understand this. My passion comes from my pain and is fueled by the Holy Spirit. So the fact, yes, praise the Lord. The fact that I get riled up, right? The fact that I'm like, we gotta say this. We gotta feel this, man. We gotta know Jesus in our life is because I went through some things. I experienced it. I saw it and I felt it firsthand. And now when I have the opportunity to present the gospel to people, I say, you gotta get this. The past success, past failures, past offense, past pain. Up until now, I've really just been talking about our own life, right? And you're taking inventory of your own life. But here's why this is so important, why this is paramount to your life. This is why it's so important. Justin, can you bring it out? Now, there's not an infant in this. Car seat. There's no baby. No one wanted to lend me their infant. Here's why this is important. It's not just about you. You see, our life is in relationship with other people. There's only two types of people, those in recovery, those in denial. We are all a work in progress. For some of us here, listen, we have a son or a daughter that is watching us. They're in the passenger seat. They're on board. And what you do in your life affects them. You might have a grandson or a granddaughter, a niece or a nephew. Maybe it's a teenager or another adult. The fact of the matter is, there are people on board. And there's something that has been threatening your life for years in your rear view. And it's following you so closely that you've decided to change the lane and change the trajectory of your life. And now you're sitting in a lane, driving in a lane that God never intended for you to be in. And you have people in your life saying, why are you acting that way, Daddy? Why did you say it like that? Why are you hurting? Why are you crying? Why is this happening? I wonder if today, maybe, you've seen that your best days are behind you, right? And they're not in front of you. Maybe your past failures have become your identity. Maybe you've taken the bait of Satan and carried an offense for years. Or perhaps there's a pain from your past that has imprisoned you. I wonder if today, if you're here today and you're listening to this, man, if you can just know that there's a God in heaven who loves you, that there's some plan he wants for your life, and that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he will use every means possible in your life and around your life to distract you, to pull you, to lull you away from God. I wonder if you're driving in a lane you shouldn't be in your life, and listen, you know that your heart is broken. You know that there's something off, that you're not whole. And this is the beauty of the gospel, that God can take those broken, fragmented, fractured pieces of our life, and he can make all things new for Jesus. So today, would you just humble yourself and consider, have I been pulled off course? And if you're on course, am I being mindful of the things in my rear view? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that we can look to it for guidance, for instruction, for reproof. Lord, all those things, God. God, I pray that if there's some broken people today, Lord, that people that are hurting, that you would meet them right where they are. And God, as we continue to navigate this life, Lord, give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.